This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, what sold Alden Smith's agent, Ron Slavin, on his client's ability to take this seriously and make a career of it? He spoke with Mickey Spagnola in his Mick Shots podcast there he's doing with Bill Jones. So salute to Mick. Looked like the hair's growing out a little bit in the pandemic from Spagnola. Hadn't seen him in a bit. It's flowing.
That's Mick. He'll grow a beard, hair. He'll do a little bit of everything. He'll be real tan. He's one of those guys. Always got a tan.
Absolutely. So it was good to see.
Oh, I'm sorry. My dad is doing that, and it is incredible.
With the hair?
Yeah, when you just get used to something for decades, and then you just watch it go, it's so awesome.
And you're not seeing him that often, are you? So you show up and you see somebody after a number of months, and who knows what kind of personal life changes they could have gone through.
I've seen him about twice, and he's always got really short hair, but now it's kind of like doing this, what I got going on, where it's like flipping up in the back. I'm like, what's going on here, dude? It's great.
Jump on Mickey's. It's a Spags 52 is his Twitter account. You'll see it.
I think he blocked me. I think he's already blocked me doing that.
Yeah. Oh, what? No.
I don't know. Mickey, he probably – I shouldn't say that. Mickey and I used to have some battles now.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, we had some battles.
I think it was G-Bag of the Day about a year or so ago.
Yeah, I think I asked Jeff real nicely not to do that anymore. I said, Jeff, can you just throw me a solid here and maybe vote against that?
Yeah, I thought it was worthy of going instant five times.
Know, of course you were. You're like, I'm voting for Broadus. I know this is why him and Spagnola, they get into it all the time. I'm voting for him right here.
It was a glorious cut, man. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
But yes, I was curious why so many people were voting it down. Like, what the heck happened here?
Yeah.
I thought this was a shoe-in.
No,
doing solids for Broadus.
You guys are trying to help me out. I appreciate you.
I get it. But yeah, Mickey tweeted here in Cowboys Twitter. Here's the opening excerpt of our interview with Alden Smith's agent Ron Slavin on Mick Shots. He talked about how he came into contact with Alden and what made him confident that Smith was going to take this seriously and get the job done.
In December, I was actually watching, I don't remember, one of the Sunday night football games, and I got a phone call from Jay Glazer, and Jay called me and said he'd been training Alden since August, that Alden had been sober since then, and wanted to know if I had interest in working with him. I made a few other phone calls, had actually a couple other people on that associated with the league side call me on it, and then Alden flew to Dallas. We met, and after spending a couple of days with him, I just felt it, that he was serious and ready. And I think I've said this before, but you know, when he told me that he's not blaming other people anymore, he's taking it upon himself. And when people with substance abuse issues take it upon themselves to get themselves right and quit blaming everybody else for their problems, is usually the turning point. And when I heard that come out of his mouth, I knew that he was ready and going to put in the work and do everything he could to be right. And that was the end of December, early January. And here we are at the end of May, and he's still on a great track, and he's bigger and stronger, like Coach McCarthy said. And I mean, when people see this kid, he's different.
So, you know, you could tell he needed questions answered probably from the league. Are you going to let this guy play? You know, and if you hear that, you're like, okay, I don't want to be wasting my time with a guy that got in this much trouble if you're not going to let him play. But I bet the NFL said, yeah, it's possible he could get reinstated. And then, you know, you hear about the accountability from the player. And once you stop blaming others, it's clicked now that my life experience kind of is a choice on how I'm going to react to the adversity. Everybody has BS happen in your life. And if you think that the BS happening justifies whatever reaction comes natural or starts firing in you, then you're never going to be able to overcome your issues, Because guess what? Tomorrow more BS is going to happen. It's impossible to go through a life without suffering and struggling and have unfortunate things happen. It's not those things that define you, but how you react to those or how you respond to those. And yeah, if you're an agent and Alden's talking about that, now I'm starting to hear the kind of things that make me believe if I represent you, I'm not wasting my time and I'm not really putting my reputation in jeopardy here by believing in you.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you to not only be back, but to hit all of these escalators because I'm trying to get my 5%, dude.
There you go.
So, yes. You know, I need to know the 5% is going to be worth my time.
Yeah, is the 5% actually possible?
Right.
Or am I looking at like a Josh Gordon 2019 commission?
Right.
Off
yeah,
a couple of game checks.
I got $173, and man, I did a lot of work for that.
Yeah, a lot of late night phone calls. Trying to do damage control, this, that, and the other thing. But, yeah, it's more of the same. And, you know, you're now talking about a guy who has a chance to have one of the great comeback stories going. You know, and it is a story as old as organized sports, at least once they got the idea that if our guys have a little bit of substance abuse, it's our responsibility to try to correct it for them and get them in trouble if they act up. Okay, elsewhere here on Cowboys Twitter, though, we go to the account of Michael Gelkin, Morning News. And this, you know, sort of, I think, captures a lot of the tone across Cowboys Twitter today. But, you know, it's the biggest example as we have watched the trajectory of this story in sports over the last, I don't know, let's call it 5 to 10 years or so. But today, over the last 48 hours, the shared responsibility of white media members to feel like, you know what, I do have to say something. I can't go silent.
Right.
You know, silence is violence, if you look at it. Like if I don't say something, then it's going to make it more likely that these things can continue to happen. There's more responsibility. Maybe not a perfect level of responsibility. We're not even close to a perfect level of responsibility, but you're seeing more stuff like this, whether it's Jeff last night on Twitter or David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, who's had several tweets today. Here's Michael Gelkin's assessment of what we're looking at. Amid a pandemic, we have been reminded of this country's first and most persistent virus. No magic antidote is coming. We must listen, we must watch, we must learn. Racial inequality is not every American's experience. Combating it is everyone's responsibility. And I thought that was incredibly poignant from, you know, Michael Gelkin. A threat to justice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. You know, it makes me think of those kinds of things, and I'm happy that more so than ever, it feels like to me, am I off on that? It's resonating strongly with people that look like me, Jeff, and Brian more this time around. And where that is in comparison to the finish line remains unsatisfactory, right?
Yeah.
And we all have a tough choice to make. Significantly, though, it's been more about self-preservation. And today, it seems like more of a jump. Like, you know what? I got to say this because I'm not going to be able to look back on my life with a sense of pride if I stay silent here. And it's that idea that's really got to crystallize and become our go-to response as a group if we're going to make significant progress on this major problem in our lifetimes. Otherwise, we're going to be looking back in 20 or 30 years going, man, we really didn't do much. We were worried about, you know, paychecks instead of, you know, things that were significantly more important.
Which is a big part of kind of what it is. I think for me, it was probably partially education and partially paycheck. Because if you want to get, you want to have the curtain pulled back a little bit, when Colin Kaepernick first took a knee and we talked about it, tanked our ratings.
Yeah.
Like, our ratings got hurt by that. And if you don't have good ratings, then you might not have a show.
Yeah.
And so when you go places outside of sports, I've always been very strongly in the camp of, I ain't doing politics, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not doing politics because whatever percentage of people that disagree with what I say, this might be the thing that would actually make you turn off the radio station. And a bad sports take won't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you – or for me, you reach a point where it's between education and frustration and anger and hell, I could probably factor therapy into this, where it's like you also have got to be able to kind of live your truth and be really comfortable with who you are and the things that you say, and where it's like, okay, like if this one hurts our show,
yeah,
okay, I'll make that trade to be comfortable with what I've said. I mean, I had people text me this morning, hey, you know, be careful on the social media. And it was like, no, I thought it over before I sent the things that I sent out last night. I thought it over. I thought about if there would be ramifications. But look, when people are being murdered and it is not in, like, it's not equitable, you know, if you go rate per thousand, rate per million, somebody's interaction with police that doesn't look like me goes worse than mine does on average, much worse. They will be targeted more often. They will be targeted in worse ways. I can protest in ways that other people cannot, or the results come out differently. And so, you know, there just reaches a point where you say, what percent of the United States population is black? Does anybody know that off the top of their head? It's like 13%, give or take. And it's like, if it's up to a low percentage of people to get a country to change, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Because you don't win a vote with low percentages. You don't, like,
no.
And we've also found out you don't make a real big difference a lot of times with a peaceful protest. And so, like, there's things in the world where it's like, look, if I get pissed off enough and the world's been unfair to me enough and I've tried like hell to vote people out, and I've tried like hell to stand in the road and hold a sign, and I've tried like hell to do all these different
things. Kneel on a sideline, maybe?
Yeah.
Kneel on a sideline, and all that did was cost me my job. Now, to Kaepernick's credit, he's turned that – being unemployed is not a positive when you want to play football, but he's turned that into a movement that he's done a whole bunch of good, and good for him. But there becomes a point where it's like – you know, people, what I'm hearing about today is like, are you defending rioters and looters? And I'm like, not necessarily. But what I will say is that if you've tried a lot of different things and not gotten results, yeah, at some point I'm going to be pissed enough to break some stuff.
Yeah.
And does that make it right to pick Kroger or AutoZone or whatever? Like, no, you may have friends and families that work there and this could affect their job. And like, yeah, that is a poor individual decision. But the idea that I got to make enough noise to get you to pay attention and to change something?
Yeah.
Do I condone it? No. Do I get it? Absolutely.
I mean, to those people, I would just say, man, how are you talking about, you know, public property when lives have been lost?
Right. Let's power rank these things.
Yeah.
How
are you really making that the biggest thing of this story?
Your pushback is the reaction to the thing you should be talking about and not the thing you should be talking about.
Yeah, just imagine, try to put yourself in a situation where you feel so helpless and so powerless that the only thing you could do is burn something to try to make a statement, because people won't listen, you know? And even the strong ways that you could peacefully demonstrate, that's just going to get you ostracized and fired, you know? So imagine being in a country that won't even listen to you, and it's decades and centuries old, and now you're at a point where you're going to be destructive to get attention. And then, by the way, you fast forward 18 hours later, and boom, what do we have? He's arrested. He's charged. So what did actually generate the change? And in a country that solves all of its problems with violence, founded by violence, maintained by violence, improved by violence, you know, so then you say, well, that's not the American way. Well, I mean, really? It kind of seems like you can ask long enough, and then when the asking and talking isn't getting what you want, you break something. That is patently American. It's actually just human. I shouldn't make our country. But that's what humans do. You ask, you argue, you fight, and then something or somebody breaks as a result of you not getting your way. And it's been, we actually celebrate it. You know, we actually celebrate the history and the great accomplishments of our military. You know, we celebrate taking things that rational conversation, you know, wouldn't otherwise have gotten you. So it's really tough to hear, oh, you know, rioting and looting, are you justifying that? Are you justifying a police officer killing people? You know, and are we really saying that America doesn't solve problems by breaking stuff? Because that's exactly what happens. Trevor Lawrence on Twitter, I'm siding with my brothers that deal and continuously deal with things I will never experience. The injustice is clear, and so is the hate. It can no longer be explained away. If you're still explaining it, check your heart and ask why. Do you feel like you need to come to the defense of the police officers? And are you searching for answers and things to debate so you can fight people that are saying things like we are? You really need to go back into the lab and evaluate where your heart is, and salute to Trevor Lawrence as such a young man for providing us with that kind of wisdom. Okay, it's time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. Gentlemen, where are we going with that?
The biggest winners and losers from the NBA returning. It's a Back to Sports Friday. It's next.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time now for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. It's brought to you by My Computer Career, and it's brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you are drowning in debt, if credit card companies are blowing up your phone, call our guy Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally. Take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple and confidential phone call to Mark Rubin, 1-800-LAWYERS. Here they are, Jeff and Brian.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
I'm Brian.
I went with Jeff today. Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
Yep. Went with Brian yesterday. Went with Jeff today.
Yeah.
So I was reading this morning about the NBA return, which Gavin, on a Back to Sports Friday, I think.
Yes, sir.
Very important, as the NBA, boy, right around the corner.
We got news on that.
What?
July 31st. Yeah, Shams tweeted it about an hour ago.
They're going to play?
That's their target date. Yeah. They got a date.
We got two more months.
I know, dude. I was like, what?
Let's do May 31st.
We could do 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, let's just play. Let's tip off. Who do the Mavs play tonight? Let's get it. On Yahoo Sports, a guy named Ben, he wrote about who benefits the most and the least from the NBA's return, and I thought it was pretty interesting, and I'll start with who he says benefits the most from an NBA return, and you tell me if you agree.
Ben Golliver?
What's that?
Is that our guy Ben Golliver?
No, his name is Ben Rohrbach.
Okay.
Which, dude, that's got to be a stage name, right? Like, it's Rohrbach, but still, that's Rohrbach. Like, here's Ben roaring back.
If it was stage, it would be R-O-A-R.
No, but I think that's part of it. Like, that's part of the subtlety and genius, is that you go with it this way, so It's more sellable as that's my real name.
Okay.
But you have to say Rohrbach.
I thought it was the new seasonal offering from Rohr Brewery in Fort Worth.
I could see that.
A nice Bock beer for the summer.
Biggest winner. Who benefits the most from an NBA return? Hey, guys, it's the Board of Governors. He says, there can be little doubt the league's likely return is financially motivated, and nobody benefits from an influx of revenue more than the owners. The absence of fans is a blow to the bottom line, but the national TV deal is worth almost $3 billion annually, plus your regional sports network contracts, and recouping that is really, really important. So the biggest winners, the owners. Surprise. Second biggest winner, the TV
LeBron?
Networks.
Oh.
He says ESPN and Turner Sports didn't bid $24 billion for the rights to broadcast NBA games out of the goodness of their hearts. They wanted to leverage those rights into advertising and other revenue streams, and that had to be put on ice. No network benefits more than ESPN, who, in addition to receiving its share of a full playoff schedule, would also play host to hundreds of people at a Wide World of Sports complex that would otherwise go empty for months.
It's a big win.
So that seems pretty likely, right? Disney, Wide World of Sports, that's where they're going to jam everybody into?
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to get tons of mentions.
Yeah, that's their hope. Come to Disney World. It's safe for NBA players. It should be safe for you.
Oh, no. Do you think that that's what they're going to do? Like, they're absolutely going to open doors and be like, the NBA players are quarantined here. It's safe.
No.
But also, millions of you, come ride Space Mountain.
No. When it's all said and done, this is going to be their moniker.
It's going to be like the old WNBA ad, We Got Next.
We Got Next.
You Got Next.
You Got Next.
Next is fans, and I'm not the best at keeping up with which sports are saying they'll have fans and not, but the NBA is going with none, correct? No fans, because they say here
right.
There's zero risk to fans who will not attend games this season but are starved for live action while heavy restrictions remain in place around the country. Playoff basketball would be a welcome distraction from the monotony of isolation. Say it again, even if the communal aspect of fandom might still be lacking come midsummer. Fans.
It's just so weird they're not in more of a hurry. Seems like everything's opening up. It's a no-brainer that in a basketball arena, you could get like 30 guys together distanced. We're going to do that in parks across America this weekend. There's going to be that many people around, recreating, socializing a little bit. It's weird that they're...
I do think we're getting to the point where this is going to become a thing faster and faster. Where it's just, hey, everything's kind of coming back. If you want to be very careful, keep staying home.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it's going to turn into fairly quickly, where it's going to be, look, people are getting back to work. If you want to stay home and be safer, which I have pretty much been home by myself this whole time, and if you want to continue to do that to make sure you're not going to get the coronavirus, you're welcome to.
I think,
but you know, people are coming back.
I think auto racing is going to be the first to have fans. I do.
With you talking, make sense,
you're talking about
rolling.
You're talking about 152,000 people capacity, and the way to spread people out.
Maybe 35,000 there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're going to get, say, the take for example, the Texas Motor Speedway.
Spread it way out.
Yeah. 30,000 people in that place. That look like, you know, they have races. The IndyCar race has like 50,000 people.
You
in
probably
that
have
place.
The highest percentage of fans who think it's a hoax still.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was just saying the
fact.
Well, I just feel like, though, that, you know, we shouldn't do that to fans, for NASCAR fans.
I'm not saying all fans.
You said NASCAR fans.
I'm sure there's a lot of NASCAR fans who would agree with me.
I don't think it's a hoax. I'm a fan.
You're going
I know.
After NASCAR
I didn't say
fans,
all fans.
Huh?
I said highest percentage of fans.
If they let me go out there, I would.
They're more willing to buy tickets. I think that's a business take.
I think you're saying that NASCAR fans don't believe
I did shade them a little bit as a collection.
A little bit.
Yes, but it's a fact.
You got me to react in a way that was more than a little bit.
Yeah
it was
I
a
did.
Shot at the NASCAR fan base.
I triggered you.
You did trigger me.
Yeah.
I tried to handle it calmly. Yes.
It probably is accurate though, right? I mean, you can't really group everybody together. That's a little bit unfair, Gavin. But
I've spent a lot of times at NASCAR races. I know my people.
Okay. All right. Who else benefits the most from an NBA return? The superstars.
That's Gavin Dawson, folks.
All players. Yeah. Anybody else you want to offend today?
Hey, if they're my people.
We already offended the racists. Is there anybody else you want to offend
bet
today?
Bet your ass.
Gavin?
I'm just getting started.
And NBA superstars. All players have had 25% pay cuts since mid-May, so there's an incentive for everybody to resume. But the max salary players, yeah, they benefit the most. Chris Paul's biweekly paycheck is about $370,000 lighter per cycle.
Wow.
Each of the superstars established a united front to resume the season, and all the guys who decided that are making more than $25 million a year. Now we get to what Gavin said earlier. Who benefits? LeBron James.
Yes, sir.
Legacies are built on playoff performance, and removing one season of a superstar's prime can have a big old impact on his position in the pantheon of NBA history and, to a lesser degree, their marketability. Nobody's got more riding on this season than LeBron James, who at 35 years old has few prime seasons left. Can you still call it his prime at 35? He's near prime. He's near prime.
He's somehow still playing like it's his prime.
Okay.
But, yeah, he can't jump as high or run quite as fast.
You wouldn't have said that last year, right?
Still totally dominant. No, last year during the regular season, he was kind of in cruise control.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he definitely looked like he was over the hill.
He looks more like an old bully this year, I think. Like, it's I was watching some stuff with him in, gosh, maybe the Cleveland runs when he was younger, and it was like, good God, the speed, the quickness, the explosiveness. And now it's like, now he's a big, athletic, powerful guy, but, you know, we're not out here really shaking guys down and winning with quickness. He's kind of got old man bully game to him.
A little more Shaq, Karl Malone type of physical domination going on there.
Yeah, a little bit
well,
of that.
I'm happy for him. This is the first time in, like, since his Miami days that he's actually been the favorite late in the season. It's been a long time. And, you know, it would have a huge impact on NBA history if he was unable to try to get this one in for the Warriors rebuild, the Nets rebuild.
Yeah.
He needs to go ahead and snag him a ring this year. And they're the one seed right now, right? The Lakers are in position to be the one seed.
Milwaukee has, Milwaukee's 53-12, I believe. Yeah.
The West.
Yeah.
They say the Clippers is another team that benefits the most from an NBA return.
All the load management.
Oh, so here's why they say. They say on the flip side, the Lakers have fought really hard to earn home court advantage throughout the West playoffs. Neutral site nixes that effort. The advantage was even greater against the Clippers, who share the Staples Center in a city that overwhelmingly favors the Lakers. Clips pose the greatest threat to the Lakers, whose fans still would have filled at least half the arena in so-called road games. Removing that puts him on an even playing field throughout a series, and no one wants to give Kawhi Leonard an added edge. So, yeah, I never really thought about that. The Clippers do have to love that. L.A. is Laker town, and if I've got to play you in a series, it's going to be 7 games of home court advantage for the Lakers. It's dangerous business. Let's get all the fans out of there. Let's play on even footing. They say the Spurs are one of the teams that benefit the most from the NBA return. The most likely scenario for a return this season features some sort of play-in scenario for West teams within arm's reach of the last playoff seed.
Okay.
The conference's field could be expanded to 12 teams under multiple scenarios, and the last team on that list would be the Spurs, who trail the 8th-place Grizzlies by 4 games. Are they really talking about 24 teams?
Yes, possibly, yeah. Because a lot of the star players on teams that would be left out would just not want to play. You got to get those teams interested to get your TV money and then start the playoffs.
Okay, so they're saying because it might be some sort of a play-in system to get to the playoffs.
Lillard was buying into that. He was buying in. He says, if I just have to play, I'm not going to do it. But if I could play in, I'm in. Yeah.
So that's the take here is the veteran team, well-versed in a good coach's proven system, might have an inherent advantage in must-win scenarios against untested young teams like the Grizzlies, Pelicans, and Kings that are thrown into a playoff atmosphere in an unfamiliar location. And they say same goes for Portland, who are riding a 6-year playoff streak of their own and probably adding back Nurkic and Zach Collins if and when play resumes, that they're one of the teams that are, hey, if we're doing a play-in, bring it on.
Yeah, give us a chance or give me the option to just not play.
Yes, one or the other. Just don't make me play out the string for nothing. The Sixers, they say they definitely have the talent. They failed to meet expectations. Chemistry on and off the court led to infighting and finger-pointing. 10-24 road record. Too often played to the level of their opponents, saved only by good performances at home and against elite competition. So now hit the restart button on the season. Get your guys rested up. And suddenly the road games aren't a problem because we're all playing at Space Mountain, baby. And then they say youth has a big advantage, a 4-month interruption, right when kind of the veterans have this finely crafted routine to peak at the right time.
Oh.
It's like, Ert! See you in a few months, whereas these crazy youngsters are like, I don't give a damn. We could, like right now, a 24-year-old, I mean, Greek Freak right now, if they were like, hey, we're playing tomorrow, he'd be like, all right.
But, how many hours? 5, 6,
right,
10,
right,
we'll go all game.
Right. These old vets, you know, they might not be cranked up the same way. So, and who benefits the least from a return? They say the Milwaukee Bucks. And it goes to the – they're on pace to win 70 games. You know, we're going to have home court advantage all the way, and here we go. We're in good shape, and we're playing well. George Hill is shooting 48% from three. Like, things could not possibly be going better for that team. And it's like, well, let's just stop, and we'll come back later. And your home court advantage no longer matters. Congratulations.
I would go back to the previous one. I think there's a chance that a veteran team could benefit more than a young team because they need the time off. They'd been grinding for like 5 months.
They got the longest bye week ever.
Yeah. I mean, tendonitis starts to spark up. You got shin splints happening if you're an older player. You know, now you get a chance for your to deload your body, get freshened back up. And, you know, it's kind of like a Bartolo Colon. He was good for like 2 months, but by the time he got into the middle of the summer, he was gassed, too old. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it'll depend more on how well those individuals took care of their bodies during the time off.
The veteran players might handle Bubble Town better because of they're older and they're probably more mature. The younger players might go nuts in Bubble Town. And I mean nuts and start like, okay, why are we here? What I mean, you know, when they're on the court, probably focused, but outside of that, you know, you might have some problems with some of those younger teams.
Families can really calm you down, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't have the family and you're not busy tucking people in and staying up and reading with the missus or whatever, you're just texting with your buddies like, man, do you think we can get out of here? Yeah. I know, and there's a tunnel underneath this hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll pop up on, you know, this street or whatever, and boom. You know, now we're figuring out ways. You know, like CA used to smuggle cowboys out of the practice facility. Yeah. He'd just get out and act like he's driving to his hotel. Michael Irvin would come sprinting across the practice field, hop in the back. You know?
How much cash you got on you, man? We can bribe these guys. You got some money on you? Yeah.
Michael Irvin would be like, man, I'll get us into the club if you pick me up. Yeah. CA'd be like, man, I got you. Let's go. Who are we partying with tonight?
All right, we're good.
There it is, Jeff and Brian's segment of the day, daily at 420. Around the NFL is coming up next in the G-Bag Nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It's time to go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys. Looks like Broadus has it for first down here.
Oh, thank you very much, General. Hey, you guys, you know, you watch Monday Night Football because of the game or the announcers?
The game.
The game? You care about the announcers, though? We get on Joe and Booger. We were getting on those guys. Witten, we were riding them pretty hard, right?
I do think so. I think they add something when they're good.
When they're good?
So, I'll enjoy the broadcasters. I enjoy the presentation. You know, I think Sunday Night Football's really got it right with how they're bringing in different guys. And there's Dungy and there's different experts. And then we're throwing it over here. And it really seems like they got an A-list crew.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't necessarily need the play-by-play guy to be outstanding, although it's better when it does. But I want to know that the broadcast is put together well, you know?
I'm with you. You know, I grew up, General, well before you were born, watching Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, and those guys, and, you know, Don Meredith. But so, you know, that was always something special to me. Monday Night Football holds a great piece of my heart. I've lost track of it, though. I really have lost track. I'm not a big fan of. I wasn't a fan of Tessitore, Booger McFarland. I just wasn't a big fan.
They did a lot of weird stuff over the last 20 years to sort of lose their brand.
Well, here's one way they can bring me back. Okay, how about bringing Randy Moss into the booth?
That'd
be awesome.
How about and this is they're talking about Randy Moss. He's just as beloved as anybody out there, and there's people that think that he could be the next Tony Romo. The way that he can – now, we didn't know that Romo – I had an idea of just talking to Romo every day and on the planes and stuff of how he analyzes things or how he can explain things. I had that, you know, back and forth with him. But there's people out there that didn't know how he was going to do in TV, right?
Yeah, no. It's entirely possible to be brilliant and then put a camera and a microphone with somebody and they freeze up or they can't recapture it.
Can't explain it. You're too long. You're all these things. Well, Romo, great hire by CBS. I think if ESPN, they've already got Randy Moss, put him in the booth. You know, I mean, I've heard people talk about him. Guys that were Mike Lombardi, so one of the smartest guys he's ever been with. You know, and that's what you got with a guy like Tony Romo. You got a smart guy, understands the game, able to kind of explain things to you. That's what I want. You know,
I don't know if he goes in the play-by-play booth or the pregame show, but whatever the case, whoever hires Randy Moss is in a good spot because he knows the game incredibly well.
Yeah.
And he's entertaining.
You know,
he's got a great enthusiasm to him that maybe you couldn't anticipate from watching how he interacted with media. But he really comes to life and provides a spark for the broadcast.
That's exactly what I'm saying. If you could pair him with the right guy, you know, they talk about Peyton Manning and all. I get it. You know, nice personality. We saw that at the golf match and all that. But this Randy Moss, to me, that would be a home run for Monday Night Football if they can get him in that booth with, like you said, Journal, get the right guy as the play-by-play guy, a guy that could let him shine like Jim Nantz lets Tony shine. I think you could hit a home run with Randy Moss being that guy.
Randy Moss, I think, is the best idea. And to me, the second best idea is Lewis Riddick.
I like Lewis.
Lewis Riddick is really good. And I think, either one of them totally deserves a shot at a job like that.
I don't know if Lewis has the personality.
Yeah.
Very stoic, very much.
Super.
Everything is straightforward with him.
Yeah. I think he's a good personnel guy, by the way. Right. Yeah. I think he's got great perspectives. Like he can do it from a scouting perspective, from a personnel perspective.
Right.
Inside the locker room. Like I think Lewis Riddick brings a lot. Maybe go three-man booth. Have a play-by-play guy, have Riddick and have Moss. I would love that booth.
Yeah, just don't go back to a comedian or a talk show host.
Right. I don't know. Dennis Miller, Tony Kornheiser.
That would be Randy Moss. Like, he's your, quote, comedian, but he's Randy Moss. And he's bringing something real at the same time.
Yeah. So I would be interested. I hope that ESPN does this. You're gonna drag me into more Monday night games if Randy Moss is sitting in the booth talking about him.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what their approach exactly was with Boog and Witten and Tessitore, but that was a failure, and it ended up feeling kind of like a cheap knockoff. You know, I think sometimes it can be tempting, especially with an iconic brand. Let's get some name recognition and some All-American faces, and here we go with a smile. It's bright lights in football. You need talent. You need personality. And sometimes, you know, you could go in a direction where nobody has gone before, and maybe they try to do too much of that, and they got a little gun shy, right? So they went too safe and ended up with a knockoff type show. Go ahead and swing for the fences. That's what Randy Moss does. He might say a couple of things that are a little edgy,
right?
But a bunch of people in the audience are going to be eating that up and saying, all right, about time.
Yeah. I'm totally with you. Just give me that. All give right. me that guy. It's going to be that player. I'm with you on this.
Around the NFL here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. You guys see what Melvin Gordon had to say about the idea of playing with no fans? I love this. Played his entire career for the Chargers before signing with the Broncos. Noted the Chargers played in front of plenty of empty seats. Quote, we didn't have fans anyway.
Right.
We didn't have many Charger fans at the game. So I'm not going to be missing much. The Browns do have a strong fan base. And if the NFL were to play in empty stadiums, Gordon's current team would be losing a lot. But as Gordon notes, for teams without good home field advantages, empty stadiums might not make much of a difference. And on the road, it would even be beneficial for those kind of teams. I have a theory here. I don't think players care that much. They've just been trained by their media trainers to talk like the fans are crucial, and we love the fans and appreciate the fans. I think this was this is where that story's coming from.
I think maybe as a talking point to build goodwill with fans, like there's a point to be made there. But I think that you get a ton of energy and ability to perform by the adulation of tens of thousands or 100,000 people willing you to do well in what you're doing. I think it's really, really big.
Yeah, you might not care. And by the way, I always hate the people that tell me if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a job. You get those people? Have you guys ever had to deal with that? You know? If it wasn't for the fans, you wouldn't have a job.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Why do you hate the
that.
Fans, Brian?
I you know what? I would make a comment about the Cowboys or something about the fan base and say, "Hey, we're very mild, we're very meek, we don't do enough." You know, I would go on to, you know, maybe be a little critical about the fans, and you know, I'm from Dallas, so I could be critical about the fans. I'm one of you, you know. Yeah. But, you know, people would always say, oh, Broadus, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have a job. They're talking about me when I was with DallasCowboys.com, you know. So I would always say, yeah, okay, thank you very much for reading, though. Appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, what's that have to do
but
with anything?
I'll tell you where fans make a difference. I'll tell you where fans do make a difference. They affect the officials. Fans affect the officials. Don't ever think in a basketball game it doesn't affect the officials. When all of a sudden someone the momentum, they can feel a momentum swing, and all of a sudden there's a charge, and you said that official comes screaming across, you know, giving the sign, you know.
Yeah.
He's doing it for the officials. He's not doing it for himself. He's telling the fans, yes, that's a charge.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I know.
That's where players need to appreciate their fans, because good fans can affect officials in a lot of ways. That's where you need to appreciate them.
Okay, around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Here's Jeff to convert on third down.
I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my very, very best to convert. And Gil Brandt is going to help me out.
All right.
The great Gil Brandt.
And CD.
And CD is going to help us out. He came out with – hold on. Let me see how many people are on this list. Because if it's nine, that could be
– Shine 9? Shine 9?
Shine 9?
That could be copyright infringement. No, okay, there's more than nine. There's 12.
Copy and paste. Ooh.
I didn't know. No. I thought maybe Gil was out here ripping Shine, and no, that's not the case. It's the Gil Brandt report, and he's talking about the guys who are ready to come back and rock and roll after missing time in the NFL. And I'm going to give you the guys, and you just tell me the odds that you think they come back and are what they were when they got hurt.
Okay.
So number one is Big Ben Roethlisberger. Primed to come back and make a big impact in 2020. Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers.
Big season coming. Baller.
Yeah, I think he's due for a big season. Yeah, I do myself.
And they survived.
Yeah.
After that Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, they suddenly became a pretty decent team.
They
with
got
bad
some weapons, too.
Play.
Yeah, they got some guys. Yeah.
Are the Steelers about to jump up and have an 11 or 12 win season that not a lot of people were really thinking about?
I believe so. Still have a good offensive line, don't they?
They do.
Number two. How about Matthew Stafford?
Oh,
coming
yeah,
back
year.
From injury. The only thing is that the Lions are never good. They're
never
good.
They were last year before he got hurt.
Well, they were 3-4. Like, he was amazing. They still weren't winning.
Yeah.
He was shredding it, and they still weren't winning. So I just don't know if that team is good enough.
Not a fan of the head coach. I think the head coach drags him down.
You hate the pencil?
I hate the whole bit. Yes. Mm. I'm against him.
Rob Gronkowski, poised to rock and roll after missing time.
Florida, probably. Not a good setting for him, probably.
Injury-plagued year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to go well for Gronk.
Tom's
trying to throw back on all that weight real quick that he'd lost.
Sure.
Well, he can do that. He can put weight on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eat unhealthy and get drunk. Oh, no, not stay healthy.
But no, he'll get drunk,
I think he could add some weight, though. This one's interesting because I feel like he just disappeared, and he's done it a lot. A.J. Green, do you expect that he's still a star?
I think he's going to have a big year because I think that quarterback is going to be okay for them. I've watched that kid play at LSU. He's tough. He's a tough-minded kid. He's going to work hard. He's going to be accurate. I think that A.J. Green's going to have a really good year, and he's going to help my guy. He really will.
If they can block.
Oh, they
will. You have A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, and T. Higgins, the Clemson receiver you just drafted. Oh,
Green's 31, about to be 32 years old.
Yeah. That team might turn fun pretty quickly.
Joe Burrow, get him going.
I don't care about David Andrews, the Patriots center. Trent Williams, offensive tackle for
like
the
how
San
you
Francisco
scout.
49ers. I don't care about a random center for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But Trent Williams I care about because there's a storyline there. Now he's going to be a 49er. Odds that Trent Williams bounces back and plays at a Pro Bowl level.
He's a mean, nasty guy.
He's a good player.
Whole trip clip, right, General?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know how to do that. And I'll tell you what, he does it really, really well. He's a powerful man. I think he's going to be perfect in that system.
Still just 31, too.
Yeah.
We have another Bengal next, Jonah Williams, who, if people don't remember this, he was a first-round pick for Cincinnati to play left tackle and blew out his knee.
There you go. There goes.
Never got to play.
There you go.
So they got a new quarterback. You get A.J. Green back. You get a first-round left tackle who never got to play. You add T. Higgins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, T. Higgins is just okay, though.
No, Brian. He's my 17th best player on the board.
Yeah, you had him too high, and that's okay.
It's all right.
He'll
be
fine. You get to do that.
Joe Burrow.
You have a Super Bowl ring. If you're going to miss on a guy, that's okay.
I miss on a lot, so I'm doing radio with you right now.
J.J. Watt. I'll just round out the list. J.J. Watt, Bradley Chubb for the Broncos, DeSean Jackson for the Eagles, C.J. Mosley for the New York Jets, and Jonathan Abram for the Raiders. Dudes who missed time who are about to get back up in this thing and go, pa-pow!
Love it. There it is, Around the NFL, daily at 4:40. Mark Cuban on TV today. How will the NBA treat a situation where a player doesn't want to come back and play, but the league is rolling towards it? Plus, there is a report the NBA now has a return-to-play date. We'll get you caught up on those and more next in The Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.